Good evening, friends. It's Monday, March 18th, 10:30 in the evening. And as you already noticed, as I am speaking English, today is a special episode. Today we'll discuss the worst game week in FPL history. And of course, we'll share some of the horror stories from our dear friends in the community. But more importantly, we also know now almost everything we need to finalize and formalize our chip strategies. Because we have all the cup results, and we have with us the best person in the world, literally, to analyze this info. So I'm very excited to welcome Pras to our pod. Hello, Pras. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for the very kind introduction. I'm not the best person in the world. In fact, everything I'm going to say on this podcast is let's wait for the fixtures to be announced. But it's a pleasure to be here. And thank you for doing this in English for me. And I really look forward to speaking to you guys.
Of course, of course. And again, thank you very much for being here. It's an honor for us. Guys, I remind you, everyone with us now, like, subscribe. If you're hearing us on Spotify, give us the 5 stars rating. We need it. We want to get to the 200 followers in YouTube. Remember, as always, with me, I have Omri Weiss.
Hello, hello. Such a crazy special episode, having my FPL idol here with me to talk with. It feels really surreal, and again we're gonna say it a couple more times, but thanks so much for joining for us. It's really an honor, a big honor for us.
And of course, Adir Shimshi.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Pras. Thank you again for being here. So surreal, as Omri said, we can't believe it until today. I was kind of hoping that the whole thing was going to cancel because I was too nervous about it. But now the team,
guys,
now
you guys are here. All flying in ranks. You guys are doing amazing. So you don't need to save the kind words for me. You're all real great managers yourself.
Adir is one of the best managers in the world, if I might say.
In Israel.
No offense.
Israel is the world, right?
Okay, I'm Nir Schechter, so let's get it started. We're going to spend a few minutes talking a little bit about you, Pras, as a FPL manager, as a FPL legend. And Omri, take it from here.
Yeah, so hopefully I don't embarrass Pras too much, but I just wanted to say, like, for me and for many others, Pras is like the GOAT of FPL content creators, not just because he's so good at playing FPL, and you can see his ranks on screen right now, but mainly due to the special way he perceives the game, explains it amazingly well, his famous helicopter view and macro planning, always fascinating to listen to. And yeah, Pras, I probably listen to you more than I listen to my wife, so I wish I was joking, but for real, like when you mention a move that I'm like contemplating, like I get a warm fuzzy feeling in my heart. it's really I'm not even kidding, and such a privilege to host you again, and yeah, that's it. That's what I wanted to say. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Look, I mean, you can see from my rank history, and I generally don't like to talk about rank. I mean, when you see me posting my scores, I don't talk about rank and stuff, because ultimately we enjoy the game for everything that happens from Monday to, at least me, Monday to Friday. Because Saturday, Sunday, you have to put your hands up and say, this is not in my control. And when we'll talk about our scores, this will be very evident. So the rank is also, it's not in our control. All we can do is good decisions. And I think what I highlight always when I talk about my rank history is, like, I don't do bad ranks because I tend not to make bad decisions. I tend to overthink, but also complicate, but also get to a decision which I think makes sense. And so I don't have blunders, right? I mean, if you look at the last, I think last 50k rank was 2016, the last 100k rank was 2011. That's what I can control. To get a top 100 rank or a top 5000 rank or a top 10k rank, I think there's so much luck involved that I cannot control. So that's basically what I would say in terms of my rank history.
Are you saying anything about Late Riser or?
Well, I think he's one of my favorite managers because he plays the game with his heart, right? And that's why I love speaking to him every week, because I'm always skeptical about doing this because of the risk, because of, you know, what happens if it goes wrong. He first thinks of what happens if it goes right. And so it's actually a very different way of looking at it. And, you know, he's that's why he's had some of the, you know, most fantastic ranks, you know, two times top 200, multiple top 5Ks, 1K. He's an incredible guy.
That's why the FPL Wire, by the way, is for me and for many others, it's the best pod, because all three of you like have kind of different, types of strategies to tackle the game. And that's why it's so great.
Absolutely. I love talking to Zoffen and Lar for the same reason.
Who is the...
ask about Zoffen and Lar, if you mentioned them. Are you guys good friends besides FPL, or you met only from the FPL community, or are you friends from before?
So no, we have actually never met. Zoff has never met Laterizer. I have never met either of them.
Wow.
And spoiler alert, I'm actually going to meet Laterizer in a couple of weeks, actually, because I'm going to India for a holiday. And so it will be the first time we meet. But in terms of, a connection, I think from an online perspective, you know, the original, a lot of people that you see now on Twitter used to be on Fantasy Football Scouts community section. You know, basically at the end of every article, you have these people chatting away on FPL. That's how we all started back in 2011, 2012. So many people, you know, Andy, let's talk FPL, FPL Salah, basically Zoff, Late Riser. There's so many people that are in the community as Joe that we knew since then. And therefore, we've just maintained that connection. And that's how Zoff and Late Riser and me knew each other. Big Man Bucker as well. So it was just a case of, you know, they started a podcast, and, you know, last year, basically, I couldn't do burning questions. So in the day, every single week. So I thought, look, if these guys are looking for someone, then it's a good opportunity. But we're not, you know, we've not met, but we speak on WhatsApp pretty much every day. Like these days, we're talking about, I don't know how much you guys are into cricket. I'm sure not. But the IPL is starting. We talk football, we talk fantasy football. So we have a friends group of just the three of us who basically text every single day.
There's a fantasy cricket?
Yeah, there's.
Oh, there's, really?
And we, between Zoff, LR, me, and there's about seven or eight other people, we're also playing this draft game where we've each picked like eight players from the cricket. It's not as intense. And because there's no expected data in cricket, there's no expected wickets or expected runs. So you can't really do a lot of analysis. You just pick with vibes. This is how FPL was 12 years ago. So yeah, it's fun.
Who's winning?
It's not started yet. It's going to start end of this week.
Are you any good when it doesn't involve planning and numbers?
Everything involves planning and numbers, even if you don't have expected data. So we'll see.
When you're Pras, everything involves planning. And
it has to. Of course it has to.
Pras, out of those seasons, which one is like the most memorable? It doesn't have to be like the best rank, of course, like the one that you will always like remember and go back to.
The one I hate the most, which has a good rank, is 2012, 2013. That was my first top 10K, but I hated it because, if you guys remember, that was the season when Aguero scored that last minute goal against Manchester United. Ooh. And that was the time where I used to just not care about FPL as much, as you can see from the ranks before. So I had Aguero captain, and I'm a Man United fan, but basically I wanted to catch some mini league leaders, and I was not even looking at overall rank. And so I had this fantastic finish, but it came at the expense of Aguero scoring this and taking the title away from Man United. So I hated this, and I still hate myself till the day why I captained Aguero that last game of the season, that QPR game. And my favorite one, always my answer is the same, which is basically the 21-22 season, which was
recently.
Basically the COVID, the COVID season, because I think that that was a season.
Is the
where...
one with Project Restart?
No. The one after that, because then that was the season with the Salah triple captaincy when he played Leeds and Norwich at home. And some of us basically wildcarded that.
I wildcarded.
Triple captain. Yeah. And that was the week where a lot of people, I mean, I don't want to take credit for it, but basically I was very vocal about that wildcard. Forget about triple captain. And I think till date, some people come and tell me that we know you from that time when you were basically... and it's not just about, you know, the popularity, but it was basically that decision I still back as very, very good. You know, Salah scored almost 30 points.
It turned out, even for the wildcards, I remember it turned out okay. Like it wasn't as bad.
It was very good, I think. I got, I went from like 35k in game week 25 to 2k in game week 29. Basically, that period which was supposed to basically rocket boost you. So I like that season. I always think of that season because that required a lot of planning, a lot of last minute. You know, if
it was the cancellations of the sickness. Yeah.
Yeah.
If a fixture is postponed 1 hour before the deadline, you don't have time to go to FPL review or to listen to your favorite YouTube content creator. You have to think in the next 1 hour, which is the move that I should make, which will give me a long-term benefit. So that I really enjoyed that season a lot.
So you mentioned FPL review. What is the really the tools that you are using day to day when you're planning?
So, I mean, this is the first year that I've had membership of FPL Review. And I think it's a good tool because I think of it like a calculator, right? You still have to do the analysis. You have to put everything in and it just helps you do things quicker. So like in the olden days, I used to put my team down in an Excel. I used to look at what are the projections for my players. You know, if I say, okay, three of my defenders are playing Arsenal away and Man City away, then I should basically look to move one of my defenders out. Now, FPL Review gives you a better picture of your basically points and it'll show you, oh, actually your weakness comes in your midfield because your three midfielders have bad fixtures or a bad fixture. So it helps you out with basically planning. And the other thing I think FPL Review helps you is basically just expected points. So in any given week, if I'm debating between, you know, let's say game week 30, you're debating between Salah captain or Son captain or Palmer captain, I think it just gives you an extra input. So typically I consider it like an unbiased friend, right? I mean, if you look at a Twitter poll will say Salah is going to be captain by 60%, Son is going to be captain by 30%, Palmer by 10%, just an example. Then I'll talk to my friends. It could be your Discord group. It could be a WhatsApp chat. And you say, guys, where are you? What are you thinking about? So that's your second group, your second close circle where you seek ideas and think where they're captaining. So they'll tell you, oh, all of them are captaining Salah. And then you say, okay. And then you go to review and then you see expected points. And review says, okay, Son has 7 expected points. Salah has 6.9. That basically helps me say, there's nothing in it. It's 50-50. I can pick whichever one I want and I will not regret it. That's what the model helps me to do. I can do whatever mental gymnastics, analytics I can do. In terms of expected points, there's nothing in it. My friends are split and Twitter is pretty much split or maybe it's favoring one or the other. That's how I use FPL.
It helps a lot with the feelings, right? Like for me, when I get a decision wrong, before like FPL review and this kind of stuff, so I was like, you know, kicking myself for maybe I the result like meant that the decision was wrong. And now when it's stuff like that, like you say, it's 0.1 difference between two players, I can rest and I can say, well, it was an okay decision. It's just that the outcome was wrong. So it helps me with making peace with my decisions.
Exactly.
This week is a perfect example to what you just said. Like, I had the worst game week ever. I had 0 returns on 3 hits, and I slept well. And I just know that I made the right decision. I played my hand correctly, and that's just the way things evolved, you know? I had nothing to do with it. So,
absolutely.
Move on to the next week.
Nice. Guys,
you want to talk about the worst game week ever, possibly?
Yeah, let's do it.
Before we move on to the worst game week ever, let's just go over our top of the league, of the four at the back league, and I will say just a few hellos before then to the people with us. I'm not going to read your messages, but we have Oroz, Rotem Shimoni, Barak Tovim, Nadav Gonen, Roy Keinan, Roy Weiss, Mickey Weiss, Netan El Rosio, Roy Pariente, Guy Rimon, Benor, Ruslan Zulfagrov. It's a pleasure having you everyone with us today. Let's go really quickly over the top 10 of our league.
Russ, they all come for you, right? It's not for us.
It's very late Israel time. It's very late.
And I appreciate everybody accommodating me. I had to put the kids to bed. So basically my wife works late on Mondays. So I just put my son to bed. So I appreciate everybody tuning in so late.
We would have done it even if it was 4 a.m. Just so you know.
Totally right.
How old is your son?
He's 9.
Nine. Nice, nice.
Yeah.
He's buying football shirts?
He's switching from. He used to support Man United. I even took him to Old Trafford in the summer. Then he realized that they're shit, so he's now started supporting Aston Villa.
Oh,
And so
nice.
at the moment, he's a Villa fan. But after Villa have lost their last couple, he's again evaluating his life choices. But at the moment, I don't influence it. I mean, he does follow football. Like he know all the results. He knows pretty much all the players from the Premier League teams. But he's not yet made, a passionate following of a team. I don't live very far from the Emirates. I keep telling him, look, if you want to support Arsenal, at least I can take you to a few games. So we'll see where he
Really?
ends up.
I would be there
You
every
don't you...
2 weeks, regardless who I was supporting,
Yeah.
if I was living near
Yeah.
the Emirates.
I
So,
think, Pras, go
yeah,
on.
go ahead, like, it's okay.
Pras, I think you once said he has an FPL team and he's actually ranked higher than you.
Yes, yeah. If you go to my page, there is a league called Just the Two of Us, and he's still ahead of me. He didn't use his free hit this week. He got like
No
15
way.
points. He basically, of course, I mean, I can't take all credit. Like, I can't give him all the credit because I do help him. Like
Of course.
on a Friday or a Saturday morning, he'll come to me and he'll say, "Look, I have one free transfer. I'm thinking of doing Foden to Gibbs White or something like that." And I'll be like, "Look, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this?" So I give him two, three options, and then he does his thing. So it is still a lot of, I would say, luck, but a little bit of knowledge, and he is indeed, I think, 17K or something.
Imagine process your dad. It's
Yeah,
just
I'm
so
just
crazy.
about to say, can I sign up to this kind of service? Can I build my team and you can offer me two or three options?
Maybe.
Nice. Okay, very quickly, number 10, Dudi Thiram. Number 9, Elad Kleiner. Number 8, Nevo Erzkovic, who ruled the league for the first 3 months and is now
He had
coming
an
back.
incredible week.
He's coming back to
36
the
points.
36
How many
points.
points he had?
It's a lot. Number 7, Roy
Incredible.
Pariente. Number 6, Liran Bar-Zeev. Number 5, our own Adir Shimshi at 8K. Number 4, Daniel Kandel. Number 3, Daniel Barazani. Number 2, Elad Fleshker. And number 1, Itai Baruch. I think he's in the top 100 in the world still.
Nice.
We can check that before, but he's really having an amazing season.
107, yeah, crazy.
107. Great. Good luck, everyone. And let's go very shortly on each of our weeks. Adir, we start with you.
That's me. Yeah, 16 points, as I said, zero returns on free hit, the worst game week of FPL ever. I think that sentence, okay? Zero returns on free hit. It's imaginary. No one can predict that. And we said it's gonna be low scoring game week, but that's I don't know. I didn't expect that kind of rubbish game week. I think when Reguilón sent off, I think we all knew this game week wasn't going to be the fun game week we all expected.
I opened
I
the
got a hint.
champagne.
Yeah. He was like, I'm not going to watch this Saturday's games, and got the regular notification and suddenly turned on the TV, Yeah, so that was a rubbish game week, and as I said, I made my peace with it. I made the right decision to my team. I mean, to my situation, it was the correct play. I couldn't do anything better. I could have picked Gibbs White or Leno, as I discussed it with you in our previous episode, but it was 50-50 between every pick, so that's it basically.
With Leno, I did say there will be one clean sheet and it will be a home clean sheet. I did say it.
Yeah,
And
you said it,
you
but
said I might go with Leno. You said it in the
yeah, I
pod
know.
live. You said it.
But they were incredibly lucky to keep that
I
lead.
think
That's
Fulham
for
were
sure.
they had the lowest clean sheet odds, I think. So
Yeah.
yeah,
And that
no one
Werner
could
chance,
predict.
man. That Werner chance, it should have been a
Werner
goal.
and Brennan Johnson at the Mr. Sitter too.
Yep.
From 5 yards.
Madison. Yeah, hit the
Richarlison
post.
in the end. When Richarlison it was when I think Werner dropped the ball and he kicked it from. They were
You
incredibly lucky.
can't kick yourself for not picking
No,
Leno.
for sure
No,
not.
no, no, no.
You
For sure
can't.
not.
Okay, let's move on to my week. One of the few people in the world who had a happy week. And if you told me before that I will get 28 points and it will be a 35% green arrow from 55 to 38. So again, I'm not say like I said here last week, I was expecting not to watch any football, be, hide behind the couch, get a fat red arrow, and now afterwards we can say that it worked well. I brought in Muniz from Solanke. So yeah, that's the strategy. I went with 10 players. A great week for me, and we'll talk after that about our plans for the next game week. But yeah, in it was a great game week for me. What can I say?
Well, incredible game week, man.
Yeah,
incredible game week.
Yeah,
I mean, you were in a really bad position.
One return.
but you came to this game week like in a really bad position.
Triple Luton. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible.
It worked out well for me. Cool. Pras, I wildcarded the game week 25, and this is
okay. Yeah, okay. And so it's not completely rosy then.
I was 300k, and okay. Now I'm 30 something. Yeah.
Yeah, but now you're stuck with Luton players and.
No, they are totally bench players. Barkley goes out this week to Palmer, but I'll stop with the spoilers. Anyways, Pras.
My team is standard team. I mean, nothing to say. It was a standard. I think Gibbs White is the only one that got a return. But you know, as opposed to Omri, I would say it's not. I'm not that sort of feeling bad because it could have been a lot worse. I mean, imagine if Areola kept a clean sheet, or imagine if Charlie Taylor got an attacking
return. It was so close. And
exactly, clean. And you know. If in this week, let's say Son scores a hat trick, right? Or Bowen gets a return, or Tony gets a return, we think, okay, we scored 55 points, but actually the non-free hitters also would have scored 50 points. So the delta doesn't change just because they all blanked. The delta only changed because Reguilon got a red card and not a lot of non-free hitters had Reguilon. Or Morris, or actually Morris, a lot of non-free hitters had.
True.
So I'm thinking of players that specifically the free hitters had. I would say it was the Flecken pick. Flecken. It was the fourth midfielder. So in my case, Gibbs White. So that actually was in my favor because Gibbs White was only 30% owned. It was maybe your third striker. So some people went instead of Morris, went, you know, Fofana or went Muniz. They profited. And then it was your defenders, right? Some people didn't go Reguilon. So what I mean is, it could have been way worse. And apart from the Reguilon red card, actually, I'm not upset. And at the moment Reguilon red card happened, I knew this free hit is now shit. Because every other player was 50, 60, 70, 80% owned. So there was not many gains to be made anyway. And so the idea is now the free hit is done. We got unlucky with Reguilon. I got lucky with Gibbs White return. So you just move on because the team looks great. Going into it, we'll talk about future plans, obviously. So I have no regrets, absolutely. In fact, I think it was okay. And there were other scenarios which would have been way worse as well. But I'm always overly optimistic. So that was my view of the game week anyway.
The Reguilon leak, like, was, I think, the worst leak ever.
To be honest, Reguilon was the one defender I was 100% on. Because, you know,
He was a great pick this week. He was a great pick.
You wanted the highest clean sheet odds defender, an attacking defender. If I was to go single Brentford defense, I would have changed Flecken to somebody else, not changed Reguilon. If I wanted to go triple Spurs attack, I would have changed Poro.
Even with the doubts about his injury, you're saying,
Reguilon was fit to play, man. I mean, a lot of people were saying he's fit to play. I had no doubts about him, therefore no regrets.
Even people that consulted with me without the free hit and they had to do a defensive transfer, I recommended them to get Reguilon. He was, I think, the best defensive option this week. And it is what it is.
Actually,
it's a heritage that it happened. Like, it's like the Mane injury. It's like this kind of, the Dennis red card.
It always happens, like in double game weeks and in blank game weeks. These things always happen, like something crazy.
And we always keep bringing this up when shitty things happen in the most bizarre game weeks, in blank game weeks and double game weeks.
Solanke misses a penalty in a double.
Zabrani goal in the previous week. stuff like that. But it wasn't the Reguilon red card that really killed this game week. It was the Flecken near penalty save. If he was saving that pen, man, we would be laughing.
Wow.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay.
And he was close too. He nearly got the ball.
Yeah, he was close. Omri, let's do your week.
Yeah, I'll do it quickly. Nothing much to say. 16 points, zero returns, red arrow on a free hit, achievement unlocked. My 11th season playing FPL, and my memory isn't the sharpest, but I don't remember a shit show such as this one. Pras has been playing for like 15 years. Maybe he remembers, but yeah, I think it's the worst that's ever been.
No, I think it's official. I think the Fantasy Premier League Twitter account just posted today that this is the lowest ever score ever.
I have some stats. Let me read it. It's like I think 60 or 70% of the players play the free hit, and the average score is 12. So, and no player owned by over 20% in the top 100K returned.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
God bless Muniz.
That's so funny, you know? That's shit, but it's so funny. Like this kind of thing happening in this world when we contemplate every move and we're talking 3 hours every week about every move we're thinking of making. And in the end, for this, for 12 points average game week.
Honestly, what this will do is next year, when you have the FA Cup quarterfinal blanks, people will say, I'm not going to free hit. Maybe you'll make your gains next season. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah,
it's true.
You're so optimistic, man.
No, I remember, I think last year or 2 years ago, there was Wolves. I got a Johnny goal. And it was like a crazy free hit with six teams playing or whatever.
I remember this game perfectly.
Jimenez red card, Friday, but everyone had Friday him. Night. Free hit and non-free.
No,
so.
I brought him in with a hit to get 8 players total, and he got a red card. That was the shittiest game week after this game week. The shittiest one.
Okay, so from the desert of 29, let's now press.
I just want to say one last thing about 29. Okay. There's like I don't know if it's a consensus, but like many people say it's that people that free hit 29 lost. But I don't think it's the case. And I saw a process tweet actually saying something similar, that everyone had a bad game week in 29. And it doesn't matter the strategy you picked. And everyone basically had to use a chip. Either they wildcarded before, like near, or they free hit, like us, or dead ended to 29 and they're going to use a wildcard after. So, like, the alternatives to the free hit were to load up on these crappy players way before or getting stuck with them like after. So actually the free 29 are the only ones that only have these crappy players for one game week. And now we can, return to our good team. So essentially it's either you'll have your wildcard left for later in the season or you have your free hit left, right? So did anyone really win yet? Like, is having a free hit cheap left better than having a wildcard left? I don't think so. So, yeah.
You don't know yet. I think we'll know.
Yeah, we don't know yet. It's like the end of the season. No one lost yet. That's my point.
And us free hitters, we had the previous game weeks to make our own decisions and to not have to go on these shitty players, as you said. And we can go, we had our Palmers and Gordon and, you know, players that weren't, when people like Neil who couldn't bring in these players because they going to go to game week 29 without using a chip, so they had to go for Aston Villa players and for Fulham players or Brentford players, and they lost. So everybody lost.
I had the greens all the way.
Yeah, but now you're left with Luton players and West Ham players.
I think later we will see.
They don't have a double.
I think later we will see the game week 30. And I will be having the same team as you. Maybe
I think your score is outrageous. I mean, I've seen a lot of people who haven't used their free hit and they haven't got 26 points. They all had like 8 points, 10 points.
No, I'm talking
points.
about the other game weeks. I got my returns in 28.
You bench boosted.
Yeah, I bench boosted 28. I got my doublers in 25. I hit them.
You made your gains. Now
I made the best out of.
You're in a worse point, like worse setup for the future. Like instead of going back to City and Arsenal assets and Bournemouth assets, which probably have a double
again,
game from 34.
Again with the Bournemouth assets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just say, we go again.
Let Pras talk. Yeah.
There is no loser. There is no loser. That's... I think the point of the tweet was that everyone has made certain sacrifices, and it's fine. I mean, I think the people who wildcarded early have made lots of gains leading up to it, but there will be some sacrifices or some EV loss that you will have going forward, right? Because you'll have to use up transfers to get Haaland, Salah, Palmer, maybe to get the doublers. So I think that's the point, whether you got lucky in that outcome or not. I think that's just the sacrifice you had to make. People who are wildcarding after this week, the sacrifices they had to make was maybe they had to sell some of the better players, some of the City players, maybe some sold Foden in the week where he scored the brace. Some didn't have Palmer when he got the double return. So people were dead-ending to that. Again, some got luckier, some got unlucky, even in that. Even in the free hit, there's certain free hits that have scored 9 points or 11 points. I guess 11 or 12 is the minimum. So, and they didn't have Palmer anyway. So I think in each scenario, there are winners and losers. But I think there is, the point of my tweet was, in every strategy, there was some sacrifice made and everybody had to do something to get around this really bloody crap double blank game week. And I think one last point on free hit that I wanted to make is getting a 5 point gain in free hit is not a disaster, right? Ask the people who free hitted in game week 25 when all the single game weekers smashed it. You remember when Saka scored, Watkins scored, some people basically used a free hit in game week 25 to get a lot of Liverpool and Man City players and other teams like Luton as well, I think. And they actually scored less points than people who didn't free hit. So that was a negative free hit. So at least if you get 5 points, move on. That's it. That would be my view. That's it.
That could happen again in game week 34 when the people will free hit then and we won't, and we can outscore them easily with single game week players.
Yeah, I will tell you even that I have a friend that also wildcarded with me in 25, and he didn't hit anything throughout this way, and he got reds every week, and we had the same exact strategy. We just choose like 3-4 different players, and I have like 80 points more than him on that span. So
yeah,
it's so luck involved here, and I'm not saying anyone won. I'm also not saying anyone lost yet. So yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see, and we don't yet know the exact full picture of the doubles. With that, let's segue to the doubles. And what we have here is basically the Ben Krellin. We'll start with the Ben Krellin approach, then we'll go to the Planet FPL approach in another. So, Pras, I actually want to give you the stage here, of course.
I've done zero prep, by the way. But
I know you have everything in your head anyways.
But seriously, this week, basically, we will know everything by Friday, right? So, yes, there are some permutations and that can happen. But I think, look, what people need to keep in mind is, to keep it simple, right? The teams that are in the FA Cup semi-final now, they cannot double in game week 34. So Man United, by beating Liverpool, we basically... that means
two Liverpool fans here, by the way, me and Nir.
Not three, two.
Two.
I don't support Liverpool.
Yeah.
who do you support, Adir?
I'm supporting my FPL team.
okay. Well,
and
okay,
Barcelona,
so
right?
Yeah, but that's not relevant, I think.
Yeah.
So basically, Man United were meant to play Newcastle in game week 34. So this is the reason why both Man United and Newcastle cannot double in game week 34. Man City cannot double in game week 34. They were meant to play Brighton, so obviously that they can't double in game week 34, and Chelsea. So basically, Chelsea also made it. So that's the starting point on why people are saying, oh, these teams are now confirmed to double in game week 37, because actually that's the only free midweek now that they have. So that's how the fixture planners are basically working around it, where it's going to be a very likely double for those teams that I just mentioned. Now, for the rest of the teams like Arsenal, Bournemouth, Wolves, Crystal Palace, Everton, Liverpool, and Sheffield United, they could actually fit in either week. And then it becomes down to basically Sky and TNT, basically in the UK, fighting around when should a certain fixture be, whether it should be on a Wednesday night when it's shown on BT Sport versus Sky. And there's also issues around basically BT Sport here already show, or TNT now it's called, already show the Champions League. And so, they want certain better Premier League games to be shown on midweeks. So I'm not going to get into any of that. I think at the moment, the thinking is that the teams that could double in Game Week 34 could be Liverpool, because there was a semi-leak, not a leak, but at least, you know, some ITK account saying that Liverpool Everton could fit there. So Liverpool would have a double game week of Fulham away and Everton away, and Everton would have a double game week of Nottingham Forest at home and Liverpool at home. I think the other likely team that is going to double is basically Wolves and Bournemouth, because Wolves are out of the FA Cup. That was, again, a big, you know, I think the free hitters in 29 got lucky with both these results.
Yeah.
The Wolves won, because the Wolves one means now that Bournemouth double happens in 2034.
That so is a certain, their Bournemouth play. Pras?
Not certain. Nothing is certain, but it's very, very likely, because there's no reason for them to delay that one. It probably is going to happen. So Wolves will have a double with Arsenal and Bournemouth, both at home. And Bournemouth actually is a tough double. So, you know, somebody like me who's got Zabarni, I'm actually not looking to play him in Game Week 34, even though I have him, because it's away to Aston Villa and away to Wolves. Now, keeper is okay. Keeper you can play, because he'll get safe points and nobody is keeping clean sheets. But I'm not that excited about the Zabarni pick. But Solanke, good pick. I think away to Villa, away to Wolves, still good. So I think these four at the moment are the ones that we think should happen. Then the Arsenal one, again, is going to be big for those who are dead-ending. That's a 50-50 at the moment. And again, without getting into the technicality, it will depend on if Sky want to keep it for Game Week 37 as their exclusive game that they have, as, you know, just before Game Week 38, or they be more logical and say, look, it's a free midweek, let's use it. And in that case, Arsenal will have a double game week of Wolves away and Chelsea at home. And that's I think, what the situation will be. So, and Everton I talked about, and Crystal Palace, by the way, West Ham home, Newcastle home. That's a very nice double if they get that as well.
And I think we can generally say that it looks like Game Week 34 will be easier to navigate without a chip than we thought it would be.
Well, if Arsenal,
if Everton and Wolves and Bournemouth double there, it will not be easy to navigate.
Especially for those like that use the free hit in 29 and already have Arsenal, if it falls there, and you know, Bournemouth, and if the Liverpool double falls in 34, you'll want those players anyway. Outside of this game week, so, and the rest of the teams are underwhelming, so I think maybe even people with free hit left can start thinking about other weeks, maybe to use it, like 35, which probably will have two doubles, maybe 37 if they use their bench boost, or they're gonna use it in another week, or maybe 38, like I think last year we had tons of leaks on Game Week 38, and those that waited with the free hit for 38 gained massively. So I think it, in retrospect, it was like maybe the best Game Week to use it last year.
I have had a negative free hit points on Game Week 38, because Game Week 38 is a very high variance week, right? Anybody can score a brace, anybody can score a hat trick, there's lots of goals. So yes, in theory, a free hit can work, but it's very difficult to predict who are the right people to hit. And it's even more difficult to go against the template, because who knows, like, you know, the template will have a lot of other good picks as well. So it's I would say it's a little bit more, you're playing the luck a little bit if you leave it for 38. Look, 34, I think, is an interesting week still. And you can think about it in two ways. If you're wildcarding in 30, 31, you could think about bench boosting in 34 now, because there's a lot of cheap players, you know, like the Crystal Palace defenders are cheap and good. Wolves are cheap and good. You know, Sarabia is like 4.7. Cunha is like 5 million or something. So there's a lot of good picks. But my problem with that bench boost is to go from 34 to the rest of the season by carrying your Wolves players, by carrying your Everton players, who then don't have a double, and you probably won't have a lot of Man City, you probably won't have a lot of Chelsea, because you want to bench boost, you know, double game weekers. And going forward, you need those players, not just because you can free hit in 37, you need Man City and Chelsea as good picks anyway, because Chelsea has another double with Brighton. And I think, Omri, to your point on the free hit in 35, the problem I have with that is, it's a double-double for Brighton and Chelsea. So if you free it in 35, then you don't have the Brighton and the Chelsea picks, which you need for 37, or you should need. I mean, maybe you can go against that.
As someone with the free hit, looking at this, and let's take the orange as what will going to happen, I have no doubt that I will free it in 34. if I don't want three Liverpool assets really, for and that will be a perfect example to bring them. And like exactly like you said, I don't want to I wouldn't be able to get those doubles and be ready for 37 at the same time. So I think it's if this orange happened, I would very much like it. So to free
I think
it
even
that
we
way,
would like it. As free hitters in 29, even we would like it. This is why this situation is actually pretty interesting. Because look, I can talk of my team. I have three Bournemouth. Again, I'll only play two of them. Let's say the Arsenal double happens here. So I have three Arsenal already. My plan in Game Week 31, because Liverpool play Sheffield United at home, was to get Darwin for Watkins and Salah for Son anyway. So I would have Darwin and Salah. Basically, my last transfer before Game Week 34 would be basically selling Haaland for Acuna or something and upgrading a defender to Trent. So I would have my three Liverpool. I would have my three Arsenal. I would have my two Bournemouth. I would have Wolves. And I think I can get Sarabia as well as one other transfer. So really, I would have 10 doublers myself.
And then you would like wildcard so out of this?
You wildcard in Game Week 35. You don't need any of those players. You wildcard with triple Chelsea, double Brighton, or maybe even three Brighton that you can look to move out, double Spurs, triple Man City, then you're ready
but
for
how
your...
How do you feel about wildcarding so late? I mean, I know the strategy sounds really great and you can cover pretty much every game week from now to till the end of the season. But there's something about the wildcard that you want to get more. You want to use it as early as you can to maximize your gains and your profits. So... I know what you're saying. I think it's a good strategy, but I also think that if you wildcard now, in 31, you can load up on Liverpool players, Arsenal players, Man City players who are fighting for the title. And if you put double game weeks aside, I think these teams can generate a ton of FPL points.
But you should have like three Liverpool, not Liverpool, but like three City, three Arsenal already,
I don't
like
think,
in your team. If you free it in 29.
Yeah, but
or at least four or five.
Four or five, but not triple. You know, you can load up on wildcard and make your set your team from now until game 38. And trying to use the bench boost in between. Maybe 34, maybe 37.
You could do. Look, it's so team dependent that it's difficult to give a blanket advice on what you should do. To your question, I will have double Liverpool, triple Arsenal, double Man City by game 31. So I don't see the need. Like, what would I gain? I think my gain is that I can dead end to 34 by selling Haaland to get Cunha. Like that, you can't do that if you don't have a wild card in hand or if you don't have a free hit. So I think I want to use the power of the wild card, just like the dead enders this week have done. You have to use your wild card as a mini free hit and also a wild card to get you new doublers for the future. And I think this game week 35 double is also very interesting. Look at the fixtures for Man United and Newcastle in game week 35, right? Man United play, I have to look now, remember?
Burnley after
Newcastle
after
play Sheffield,
Sheffield
United at home.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and those are also the teams that double in game week 37. So you get a couple of Man United, couple of Newcastle, you've got your nice bench set up for 37, you've got your really high upside fixture in game week 35. You can pick a couple of Brighton players who, you know, other people who are navigating will not, they'll say, chuck it, man, I'm not getting Brighton. But you get your Pascal Gross and Dunk. I mean, those guys will play both games in both doubles. So there are, I think, forget about what your team should be or when you should wildcard about gains, because I feel that is more, you know, as engaged managers, our team never is that bad. So if you're not engaged, let's say, you made some two, three bad transfers or you were dead-ending, I can understand a wildcard. But you wildcard when you need to wildcard, either because of a double, because of a blank, or your team needs it. And I think my team doesn't need it in 30 or 31.
By the way, in wildcard 35, it's possible, maybe it's not the best, but it's possible to actually ditch Salah and make an amazing bench boost 37 with the money. Like
exactly.
Depends on the title race.
It could backfire. It could backfire for sure.
If the title race goes to the wire, we all want.
You're talking about putting Gross or something instead of him, right?
I'm not gonna have Salah.
You're not gonna, and you are selling Watkins in 31, as I picked up.
Watkins has more FPL points actually.
I mean, yeah, fine. He may punish me, but that's okay. That's the way we have to play. I mean, Darwin is the pick after this. So I can see Watkins love. But by the way, I've tweeted this two times. Every time people go, I'm never going to sell Watkins. There's no chance. You will see everyone.
I will sell him, but not in 31. Exactly. Not in 31. There is like two, three games, good games after that, I think, in my opinion.
No, the problem is his other good game is home to Bournemouth in Game Week 34. But he's not doubling.
And
you want other doubling ones.
32 Brentford at home, man. They are taking four a game.
It's okay. But between that is Arsenal away and Man City away.
Yeah, that's true. And he blanked.
It's about the block of fixtures.
He blanked in the last time with those teams. Yeah. True.
Guy Rimon, one of our friends from the community in the chat, has made a great point about Everton. They have a great schedule regardless of the double game week, including the best fixture in game week 37. What do you think about the Everton players?
Yeah, but I'm still not going to bench boost with Everton just because they play Sheffield United at home. I mean, I think it's good. So for going back to the point where people could be thinking about a bench boost in 34, you could bench boost with a couple of Everton players. But that 37 fixture is irrelevant to me because you're not going to play them over a doubling defender, right?
No, no way.
By the way, regarding Everton, because I heard the Planet FPL pod, I think it was released today. He
mentioned... You want to go to their
projections? Let's go to that projections. I think
it's actually like really conflicting. It's really interesting what's happening there with the two biggest projectors.
So this is the Planet FPL projections from FPL team, and he said that he was leaked that Everton-Liverpool will be in 37, and from what you said, for the TV considerations. So it's a championship game for Liverpool, a relegation game for Everton. It will break the ratings, right? So what are you familiar with this?
I am. But I think if you look at his post today on X, he has also then said that this account that has... said this afternoon that they're finalizing the plans for April 17th or something like that. That's game week 34. So I think at the moment, even he would probably say that it's more likely that the Ben one is more likely. Because ultimately, even I listened to some of his podcast today. Even he said that logically it makes sense to have
it
in 34.
He said
it makes
that.
No sense.
Yeah.
So,
but the Premier League have been known to do stuff that makes no sense, right?
Yeah. But now that we have somebody like in Everton, it's a pretty popular. It's called the Bobble, popular ITK account for Everton. Mm. If they're saying that they're discussing that particular date, then I think we need to use that. So I would use this one less, which is actually good news for everyone involved because this looks like a terrible.
Yeah,
double.
This is really
nobody
bad.
Wants this. Even I don't want this, even as a free hitter. Like, I don't want to dead end to this rubbish.
Yeah. So you're saying, like, okay, I didn't... It feels here that doubles disappear from in this image.
They just all go into 37.
Everything is 37.
Correct. Understood. Correct.
Yeah, but I think that even James said that it's not likely. I mean, its logic makes sense that Liverpool will go to 34 and not 37. So we just have to wait and see.
And we'll know before the deadline. So it's really...
Are we
it's
going
just
to know
because,
before the deadline?
Yeah.
Is it
we'll know this
press?
Week. Not just the deadline. We'll know this week, end of this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like because they have
to... We should
to,
know. I should caveat.
They have to schedule the games for the fans. That's what you're saying?
I think there's been enough little bit more rumors going around that they're about to announce something on Wednesday, Thursday, somebody said Friday. So when enough people are talking about it, then you know that something is coming very soon.
Wow. That
it, in the end, it will happen like a minute after the deadline.
or before.
Been there, done that.
Liverpool one.
5 minutes before, that would be great. Yeah.
They did it with Liverpool, right? With the Liverpool
25. Was
Saturday
the
morning.
That was terrible. I sold
it. Yeah. With a Trent, you got lucky with that, by the way.
I did get lucky because then I got Van Dijk instead, and
Trippier
got me.
Yeah, we talked about it pretty much a lot of times about your luck. One thing I wanted to mention about game week 31 is that this is a midweek game week to all of us potentially wildcarding. There gonna be maybe some rotation, some things we need to take under consideration. Not the perfect game week to wildcard in.
It's not. Especially 30 is after an international break and 31 is a midweek game. So there could be rotation in both of them. But I think at this point, everybody has very good squads and you pick your players, right? I'm not going to avoid Darwin Núñez just because he started on Saturday and he plays Sheffield United at home. You just pick and pray, I think.
Yeah.
But we will see. Of course, there could be some niggles that mean that players are ruled out for the next two game weeks, even though it's a five-day injury. That stuff, yeah, could cause some chaos.
Yeah, we hope.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else, guys, that you would like to discuss? We have this... this image, but again, I think
one
it's
thing
the same
I wanted
thing
to
in
say
a
about
different way. Yeah.
Yeah, about the free hit game week 38. You guys mentioned Omri and Plus. One advantage to this strategy is that you can avoid the big hitters who are going to be rotated, like Haaland in the last season. He got benched in the last day of the season and people sold him, and when you're on free hit, you can avoid that.
If the title is done.
If the title is done.
Yeah.
And I don't think you will know this soon enough, like in 34 when you are deciding to free hit or not, you will not know that the title is done, I think. Yeah.
That's a gamble. That's the risk you got to take when you commit to this strategy. Like Shai Saadon, I think, is... He's already decided that he's gonna free hit in this
because it went good for him last year. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna do it again, and he can get lucky if the title decided before. Sure.
Oh,
I mean,
we lost
one
Omri.
Another pro.
We lost. Yeah. Go ahead first. Sorry.
I can give you one other pro for game week 38. If you look at the doublers, right? So if you're, let's say, you're around bench boost 37 strategy, but you have a free hit hanging about, so you are going to basically dead end your team to game week 37 doublers, which basically means you won't have Saka, you won't have Salah, you won't have Darwin, you won't have the Arsenal defense. Then who do these guys play? Arsenal play Everton at home, game week 38. So you can get Saka, you can get double Arsenal attack. Who do Liverpool play? Wolves at home. So somebody
they always finish
at...
the season with Wolves at home.
City, yeah, City West Ham at home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, City will have because they will.
All home games though.
Yeah.
No, but Liverpool against Wolves—that's the match on the final day of the season. I think it's 3 or 4.
I still remember the heartbreak with Cash and Coutinho.
Last season.
So close, man. So close.
Man, I think it last season or 2 seasons ago.
Last season was the worst season.
It was a hard day. It was a hard day. Man.
Yeah. Wow. It was incredible the evening.
The hope. That was the worst
the hope
thing.
That kills you.
Yep. Russ is silent and happy. As a Man United.
I mean, I don't like Man City winning either, man. I mean, it's like a terrible
right.
Your two biggest rivals. And as growing up as a Man United fan, I used to hate Arsenal as well because it was between Arsenal and Man United, right, for all the Premier League titles. So it's the three teams I've hated as a child who are all basically competing for the Premier League. And people say, who do you want to win? I want no one to win, man. I mean, I don't have an answer.
Growing
at
up...
least you experienced the Ferguson years, right?
Yeah. Growing up as a Liverpool fan, I would love Arsenal because they were the only ones who would oppose United. So I was like... they were like my second team because we had no chance to do anything. Okay, so I think we understand. I think the one thing that we need to understand is that no one doubles in 34 and then in 37, so it's
correct.
A different set of teams, and that what requires you either you free hit in one of those, either you dead end in wildcard. You need to take this into account because it's two game weeks between, and you don't have the time to. And we will, and like Pras said, we will know the full picture, I guess, in a few days.
Correct.
So I can't wait for that.
Well, we'll know the full picture for 34, and then by deduction,
yeah,
we can understand what, like, for example, we won't know if the Chelsea Brighton game is in 35 or 36. Maybe we won't know this by the deadline of this week, but 34, if we know, we can do some forensic fixture planning and get to the right answer.
Yeah.
And to our viewers, I want to say that we're going to be here next week without Pras. But we're going to be here.
No, why did you rule it out, Pras?
By the wire.
At the moment, Pras isn't going to make it, but we're going to be here and going to, you know, analyze everything you need to know before the deadline. So don't be worried, we got you covered.
In Hebrew, though.
Yeah.
Maybe in English if we get good reviews.
Okay, so
if there's enough new subs, then yeah, English is the way.
let's see today. Okay, we have you for the, I think, the worldwide premiere of your analysis of the cup results. Am I correct? Is this the first time that you are talking about the doubles and
the cup? Yeah, actually, that's true. I haven't done any pods since the FA Cup.
It's the premiere. The premiere. Okay.
You know, if you weren't with us and you were like with another pod, me, Omri, and Denis will probably just now be sitting at the sofa and watching you. So
yeah, summarizing everything. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So let's say we will finalize with talking about a little bit about our plans for game week 30. Like before, of course, the doubles are set. But before that, we want to keep our promise to two of our listeners who had a horrible game week. So with that.
But at least, at least they're on the
Vice,
show.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah, it's really small, so I can't see.
Okay, so this is Mr. Vaknin.
But it's really bad, basically.
They had 19 minus 8, 11 points with 9 players. The only return they had was Martinez saves, basically. That's the only...
Martinez Hall.
Yeah, exactly.
He got a return, man. It's 5 points. It's a lot. It's like 5
players. It's 11 points, eventually.
No, but from Martinez.
Yeah. But they did get more than 1 point per player because they only played with 9 players. So,
I think that's a reasonably good week.
Yeah, it's the minus 8 that killed them, not the returns. Yeah.
And from that, we're going to go with Shachar Keinan. He says number 3 in Israel. He got 10 points.
And I checked it. He was the number 3. I think he lost his this
he
place.
Lost it. Although I think he made the right move eventually, not spending any chip, going with 4 players and like getting 5 points less than average without a chip. I think
that's amazing, actually. 4 players.
He won this guy.
Yeah, he's won the week because his team looks fantastic for next week.
Exactly.
He didn't even dead end to it.
Exactly. He didn't do anything basically. Yeah. And he's like ranked inside the top 1K or something like that, more or less. Okay.
Fine.
Now, Pras, we're going to share with you what we are working with every week. It's called the Fantasy Copy. It's a FPL planner and a data app. It's amazing. It's free, of course. No advertising, nothing. It developed by one of our community members. You know about the Israeli software and how we go.
Roy Keinan.
Roy Keinan, yeah. So this is me for game week 30. Let me just rearrange here. I already know exactly what I'm going to do. Because
can
I
zoom in, please.
Yes, of course.
You're not waiting for the doubles.
No, for me it doesn't matter because my moves are oriented to the game week 34 double. Anyways, what I'm going to do is Kudus for Salah, Barkley for Palmer. They are also the teams that are doubling, especially if I'm free hitting in 34. Loading up on Chelsea and Brighton is going to be what I'm focused on in the next game weeks. And Salah I want because I've been without him for too long. I want him back. He showed some glimpses in the cup game and I'm ready.
Only played the 90 minute though. He took him out.
It's fine by
70
me.
70 something, I think.
He's not going to international. He's not going.
Yeah.
to international.
No, he's going to play 90, yeah.
He's going to play
like in 2 weeks or something.
Hopefully, he's going to play 90 until the end of the season, in my opinion. And
yeah, and he doesn't have UEFA Champions League on his mind. I mean, Liverpool could rest him in the Europa League.
True. They won't. I don't think so. Actually, in the second leg, while it was 5-1 in the first leg, the Klopp still, started first 11.
Because Salah is a machine, but it was before the injury, I assume. So
No, it was after the injury, but I think he wanted to get some minutes up his legs. You know,
wasn't just him. It was like Darwin and everyone.
But it took some of them at halftime, right? Virgil was...
Not sure. Don't remember. Okay.
Virgil got off, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Okay, and if we want to see, then next week I still have money in the bank from the Mooney's move to get in Haaland for Tony. And I'm feeling in myself that this will be very similar even to a wildcard team. It will not be that drastically different. Yeah, so this is my plan.
I think that's pretty good.
Thank you, thank you. I hope. Let's see. Pras, what is your ID?
12315.
Wow.
Nice. That's a good
Okay. So, Pras, this is you for next week.
Okay. And, yeah. So, yeah, well, I'm going to play Richarlison instead of Saka. And my defense, basically, I'm benching all three Arsenal players. And basically bench both the defenders for Trippier and for Konza. I have all 11 playing at home.
Wow.
So, and avoiding everybody who's playing Man City away. And that's the plan. But I think the only worry would be if Trippier is not back, although he's expected to be back. Richarlison is already back. But if there's like an injury or an international break injury, I play one of the Arsenal players like Saka and Gabriel, I can still play. It's not the end of the world.
So you basically believe City is going to crush Arsenal, if I understand.
Not crush, but I just think marginally I'll back the home team because I don't think, given that they're at home, they'll have, I would guess, 65% of the ball. And if I was to guess, again, I'll look at market odds closer to the time, but I would guess City would be favorites to win this game. So I'll go with the favorites. But look, if Saka should be fairly lowly owned, maybe he's not. But if he is, then fine. It is what it is. I've benched like Foden's hat trick even this season. Palmer's 12 points. It doesn't matter. You have to, again, decision making, not outcome. So I'll probably do that. But the only thing is I don't have Liverpool players home to Brighton. But look, I have got Son captain, which would be the move here. It also gives me a nice hedge because I've also got Richarlison. So let's say in this scenario where Richarlison plays 90 minutes up top, right? And Son is not as good a captain because he played on the left. I've got Richarlison. So maybe he scores the hat trick, which is lowly owned. Yeah. So I have like a little nice hedge. And so for this week, I'm not going to do anything. Mm. Next week, the plan is, and if we assume that the Wolves double will happen and the Liverpool double will happen, the plan is Watkins to Darwin and Son to Salah.
Yeah.
Son to Salah, and then I can do either Richarlison to Sarabia, but I'll more likely do Trippier to Eight Nouri or something. Mm. And so basically, I've got the three guys who are going to be doubling in 34.
And they have basically a great fixture in 31 as well.
Exactly. That's nice. That's the
point. Nice.
Yeah, they have a great run 31, 32, 33, all the way leading to the double.
Correct.
And of course, the Arsenal player will be playing, of course.
Yeah. All Arsenal players will be back,
of course.
On Eight Nouri, you saw the cup game against Coventry. He was
playing up
prime
top,
Messi. Yeah, he was prime Messi.
Yeah,
in that game,
I have my.
He was doing everything.
I think there's going to be two go-to defenders. This is why I said I'm going to plan to bench Zabarni because I'm not going to play this guy even though he has a double because I think there's other guys. There's the Crystal Palace wing back. What is his name? Munizu.
The Colombian one.
Yeah.
I have to say Gusto, guys. I really like Gusto as an asset. I think whether from the left or from the right he's going to play because both of the other wing backs, they are not worthy of two games in a row.
And he doesn't double in 34, though.
No,
that's
no.
My
but...
strategy, I'm not going to get any more Chelsea players because I want to get them in 35 wildcard.
Yeah.
You're going to load up on wildcard, yeah.
Yeah. Again, so each for their own in this stage of the season. It's like the exact 15 players that you have right now are going to dictate the way you're going, basically. It's so nuanced between the different teams.
So team dependent. As always, I mean, we always say that it's team dependent, every move.
Yeah, you look great both in 30 and in 31. Most of your players
and then
is
33,
in home.
Let's say, exactly. Let's say there's no injuries. Then basically 33, I do Konsa to this Crystal Palace defender that I'm talking about. And then in 34.
Munoz,
In 34, I do Haaland to Cunha and I do Foden to Diaz, Luis Diaz, and done.
Cunha will be fit by then? I think
Cunha is fit now, I think, after the international break.
Sarabia isn't a forward?
No,
I know.
Sarabia
is a midfielder. Understood. Okay. So,
just tentative right now.
As expected, plan, Pras, your plan is great. It looks great. You know,
I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
At least it looks great.
not that great.
Brass already knows like what his team for the 24-25 season will be.
Of course. Hammer's too expensive, so we'll have to see.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Adir, let's go with you. I think it's this one.
17680?
Yeah.
Yes. So my original plan was the wild card in Game Week 31. Not because
you free-hitted.
Yeah, I free-hitted because I had an idea in mind, but I always said that I'm going to, of course, wait for more info and then reassess. I think one move I'm definitely going to make is Saka to Salah. I made the Foden to Tavernier in the previous game week move because I wanted the money to make it in one move. So, Nir, take Saka, please, and bring in Salah.
Even if you don't wildcard in 31 or 32, you're gonna do that move.
But
you don't prefer to take out Son.
I will show you why
Son out against Luton at home.
Not against Luton.
No. Next week, the week after.
Yeah. So Salah is going in right now. That's what I'm going to do.
Gordon is benched in this scenario. But
no, Gordon is going to start, of course, over Tavernier.
Tavernier, okay.
He's going to be a bench warmer for me at the end of the season if he keeps his place. And the defense, I'm going to start Ake and have 11 players playing at home, like Pras. Really like it. I mean, it's a really good way to go. To set myself up in this game week, and I think in 31, if I want wild card, I can get Saka back instead of Son. I can get Foden back if I want to. I can take a hit. Everything is open for me. I'm flexible. I still don't know what I'm going to do.
You're taking it game week by game week. That's what they're saying, basically.
Yeah. I know that. I know that this game week I want Salah and I want to captain him. Everything else besides Salah is already in place. I've got Palmer, I got Son, I got Solanke, Watkins, Haaland. And I'm also planning on taking Watkins out in Game Week 31, maybe a minus four for him and for Saka or Foden. We'll see.
You'll probably be more assured when we get the fixtures in a few days.
Yeah. Anything else you think about this team? Something else you would have done?
Looks great for 30. So
I wouldn't wildcard.
I was saying Saka play Sheffield United in 31. You'll have a big pull. You'll have big FOMO to get him in 31.
No, I will get him. If I'm not wildcarding, I'm bringing him in.
You'll take out
definitely,
Son and then bring him back on wildcard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
Son, I think is maybe the best asset until the end of the season with two doubles.
I think he's expendable in this particular three game weeks. I want him back in 34, 35, definitely. Because I think he's the kind of player who's going to play out every game week. Even if the league is set, even if the Champions League is already settled, I think he's going to play. He's going to go for, I don't know if he's going to go for the golden boot, but he's going to go for scoring a lot of goals. And even if it's from the wing or in front of the goal, he's going to play. So if I wasn't going to wildcard, if I'd be in your position here, I would have kept him. But because I have the luxury to bring him back,
Yeah,
I
makes
can
sense.
ditch him.
Makes sense. Okay.
What do you think about the Okie-Kokie with Saka? I mean, getting him back.
I don't love
it's
it.
Worth getting. It's worth getting Son out.
It's
now
a lot of money as well that you are losing.
No, just wait 1 week and get Salah for Son in 31. That's what I've.
But the captaincy for Salah against
you have
Brighton.
Son against Luton. You have a good option.
In
I think
31,
that Richarlison. I think
yeah.
that Richarlison is going to play in 30. I think it's going to start after that defeat against Fulham. When they didn't
but
score,
Son is
I
fine
think.
From the left. Look how many
chances I know.
Johnson gets on the left.
Wasn't
great,
there 17 points when Richarlison played?
Yeah, 17.
Yeah.
17.
No.
One game.
It was two. It was twice.
Aston Villa,
he did it twice
against Newcastle.
Against Villa, he's talking about.
Yeah, I was talking about against
the
Villa.
He did 17 points twice this season. Yeah.
Against Villa, Richarlison didn't play. He played in the center of Son, and that's why he got the goals. I mean, he's a great essence for the
it's
left.
It's a big thing for him to beat the nine. I agree.
But I think
Salah's... Luton, man. Have you watched Luton last two games?
Yeah, I've watched Luton.
Yeah.
I know. But Salah is better, right? I mean, don't you think?
Well, yeah, Son is higher on review. Again,
really?
My unbiased friend.
But I think they...
0.5 for Delta. Oh,
okay,
0.1.
I adjusted the X minutes, but anyway.
But they're assuming that Richarlison is benched or starts.
Doesn't matter. It depends on how
Does
many minutes Son gets, and Son should get 89. Of course, you adjust, right? No model is like telling you what. If you think that he starts on the left and you think Salah is the bigger cap, I just don't think using an extra transfer. Essentially, what you're doing is by waiting a week, you're using an extra transfer because you're getting Saka back. Which means you'll have one less doubler in 34, because, or you'll have to take a hit. So, is it worth 4 points to get Salah a week earlier and to captain Salah? That's a question for you to answer. For me, the answer is no, but you need to think about that.
And of course, if you are wildcarding 31, then this consideration.
Then you should do it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course. If I'm wildcarding 31, it makes things way simpler. But we'll see. Now
you will know in a
said,
few
you won't
days.
Do it.
You will know in a few days when the doubles are
I mean,
announced.
If the doubles in 34 are really bad, then you might as well wildcard in 31, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's that Planet FPL projection, then you can do it. And if it's a really complicated 34, which I think is what it will be, then you may need to think about dead ending. So I guess you decide later in the week.
I think that when we have the full picture, and then we can reassess, then we can assess about going for double game weeks rather than single game weeks, you know, good teams versus bad teams on paper. And each one of us will have to make his peace with everything. And I'll think that going for the triple is the best way to go from now till the end of the season and ignore the double game weeks. Maybe that's the play. I don't know.
Cool. Okay, let's do the last one, Omri. Let's do this quickly. We are already getting on time. 32.
No, 3-6-2-3-1.
Boo.
Okay. This is you.
So, yeah. So, basically, take Gordon in instead of Kluivert. So, the plan was, like in 28, I did Foden to Kluivert. I hoped that it would pay off and give me money to do Odegaard to Salah this week. And that's probably what I'll do. I think even if Arsenal double in 34, I still have to take Odegaard out for Salah because the next few weeks, it will be just worth it. And so I'm pretty set on this transfer no matter what. And the other thing that I'm contemplating is... taking out Gordon for Palmer for -4, doing the Nottingham Forest. They took a -4 today as well. I'm still
Luton
again
is
tweet,
above
but...
the relegation zone. Luton is above the relegation zone right now.
Currently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess my contemplation is either doing this Gordon to Palmer. Gordon can't also double in 34, so
it's
that's
a
another
good game
reason.
For
Palmer...
Gordon, West Ham home.
Yeah, but Burnley at home is
Dude,
very,
Palmer
very good for
something.
Palmer. He's captaincy material, I think, this week. Yeah. I'll probably captain Salah, of course, but Palmer is.
Material. Yeah.
And like, if I'm doing it, I'm looking at my front seven, and I love it, man. Like, I don't mind going with it until my wild card in 35, which is the plan. Like Pras. Yeah. What do you think, Pras?
I think it's a great team. Yeah, I think there's a defensive. So you'd play Ake instead of Doughty, right? Or so whichever that Luton guy is.
Yeah, yeah, it's Doughty.
Yeah, it's a great team.
Yeah, probably.
Agreed.
Would you do the -4, Gordon to Palmer? Or would you wait? Yeah,
I would.
Yeah. All right.
I might start with the Doughty over Gabriel if it fits. Maybe some assist gem or something. Like, I think City were gonna score in that game.
Gabriel can score.
I believe in Gabriel goal in a game like this.
He did it against Liverpool. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think it's like. I think there is a debate.
It's not a high chance, of course not.
I don't think it's that nailed that you gotta start Gabriel. I mean, it's
all of them are going to get 1-pointers anyway, so it's just 2 weeks of overthinking and then. For the back, literally. Like four points at the back.
Let's go before we finish for a few questions from.
Wait, you want to before the questions? You want to talk captaincy? Or is it.
For me, it's too early even to talk about it, but go ahead.
I think if you have Salah, I think Salah is the best. Son is after that, and then maybe Palmer, in my opinion.
I agree with this. I agree with this.
Yeah. Richarlison as well.
If I know he starts, then opinion. Yeah. If I know he starts,
yeah.
Then...
I was joking. I have him, and I'm optimistic. No, he's not. No, I think you take the three pen takers, right? The three pen takers with good fixtures.
For sure.
No, but getting Richarlison out of the freezer for Luton at home, that's incredible. If he starts, then good for you.
So yeah,
I think he should start. Yeah. He was starting before he got injured.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they will start after they failed to score last week. He will start, I think, if he's fit. And is.
Yeah, I think we'll have a rare week where no one is really high above 100. There will be like a nice split probably between...
Because of the captaincy. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, everyone who has Salah is going to captain him, but I don't think there'll be a lot of people with him.
It will not be enough to carry him above 100, I think.
I think Son will be over 100.
Son could be above 100. But
everyone
maybe
got
like...
him for the blank, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the Salah captaincy, really.
I'm going probably. Yeah.
That's what I want to, you know. That's why I'm thinking about selling Saka and getting him back in just because of this one game week against Brighton.
That doesn't work, the two transfers, in my opinion.
I know.
But,
I know
you're not going to wildcard 31. You're going to wildcard 35 like me. You'll see.
I know. I know. That's my problem with it. I already know that I can't make this move. But I just want to talk about this move because it's so tasty, getting Salah and captaining him against Brighton. But
you need to be wishing for a bad double game week 34. That will get you there. But by the way, on Salah against Brighton, do you know when Salah played Brighton last season? Does anyone remember the story there?
The 3-3?
Probably Adair.
Salah, when he played Brighton last season, was De Zerbi's first game ever.
Yeah, I know. And Trossard scored the hat-trick, right?
Haaland scored the hat-trick and two assists against Man United, and some idiots like myself captained Salah instead of Haaland in that week. That was
Game Week 9?
Yep.
Yeah. I did it as well. And Game Week 9, the year earlier, I fell for the Havertz versus Salah.
You're a veteran. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's like Game of Thrones, right?
Game Week 9 is the worst game week.
It's like,
for sure.
It's like Game of Thrones when Episode 9 was the horrific
Red
one.
Wedding.
Yeah.
This
season, I think that this season game week 9 was Salah against Brighton.
That was away. This is the fixture in game week
and
30,
I wildcarded in this game week and got him in and captained him, and he got the brace. Yeah,
he got the two penalties, didn't he?
No, one penalty. It was a one penalty,
I think,
and the
okay, one gift. I didn't own him.
One gift,
I got very annoyed.
Yeah. I was super lucky there.
But Brighton did really, really well against them, if you remember.
They always do.
Yeah.
They always do.
Yeah, they always do.
Yeah, Trossard.
I'm not trying to talk you guys out of Salah captaincy. I'm just saying it's close. No, it's close between Son and
Brighton could win and Salah still get a mega hole. 4-3 in some of the cards.
Yeah, and Son is playing Luton. I'm not done in my mind about this yet. I'm bringing in Salah, but not sure that I'm captaining him.
We have lots of time to think.
Yeah, we're going to have a bigger discussion.
I want to wrap up, but a few questions. Ruslan is asking, how the captaincy decided for you, Pras? Fixtures or form? And does the FOMO of Twitter influencing your armband decision?
Yeah, I can't lie that it doesn't. I mean, when you see, because the FOMO of Twitter basically means effective ownership. Because if you see other people captaining, that then you mean the ownership is going to be very high. And so you have to balance risk and reward. And so in many cases, yeah, if I think a decision is close between Haaland and somebody else, I think, yeah, it does take over in terms of your fear that something will go wrong. And like I talked about, I still remember the time it did go wrong, which was 18 months ago, but you still remember those times. But I think I think it's the fixture which always determines my, if a player is form, you can argue, I think with these big hitters, they're always in form. I think it's, if you're on penalties, if you have a good fixture, and you need to not land on that game week and decide, oh, this guy has a good fixture, he should be your captain. From now until the next 6 weeks, you should have a view on who is the best captain for that week. And in fact, if you don't have them, you should be planning to get them.
Oops, what did I do? Okay. And another question from Ruslan. How do you decide, and I think it goes well with Adir's dilemma, how do you decide when it's time to sell an asset when the value gain is too big? So, for example, when Adir is going to sell a Saka and you are losing like 0.4 or something like that, when do you think it's worth it in those cases?
I think if Salah is not doubling in game week 37, then value is completely gone now this season. You don't need value because you will not own Salah and Haaland after game week 34 together. Some people may, so I'm not talking them out, but I don't think value matters this late in the season. So get the players that you want. There's only 8 game weeks left. Nobody remembers the team value from last season.
If you're on
carry the money.
But if you need a bench boost, I think it kind of matters probably. No?
But I can make a team of 15 now with a value of 101 million or 102 million with a fantastic bench boost.
Yeah, it's true.
If Salah is not in that bench boost, if Saka is not in that bench boost, it's easy. So I don't think it matters that much. Now, it will change if it's the other prediction where all Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, all double in game week 37. There's, yes, maybe value will matter then.
True. Okay, cool. Thanks. Rotem Shimoni, for Wildcard 35 plan, is asking what you think makes more sense, the bench boost 34 or the bench boost 37?
I don't think you'll have enough transfers to get to bench boost 34. If you're going to dead end, I think the focus will be on getting the right 11. But if you're in a fortunate position where even Arsenal have a double, Liverpool have a double, Bournemouth have a double, and you already have a lot of these players already, yeah, maybe you can think about a dead end bench boost, because then you're effectively creating your wildcard as a free hit for 37. You know, like, because you're then in your wildcard 35, you're basically getting the right optimal players for 37 double. It's almost like a free hit. So you can choose to play it either way.
There's been amazing scores using this method, although it was like one game week after, but I think I got like 180 something a couple of years back using this method, and it gets crazy scores if it works.
I think I captained De Bruyne with the 4 goals against Wolves.
It was it was this game week, yeah.
This was 2 years ago as well with the Salah captaincy, with the Salah 28 points. I think it's the same season.
Yeah. And I got De Bruyne out the game week after. He got the 4 goals.
I did for
Sun too. And he got
the same
grace.
Yeah. I didn't captain De Bruyne that week, but I did have him.
Nice.
That was which in itself too. Was huge.
Same for me. I didn't captain, but I had him. Okay. Roy Kainan, the developer of Fantasy Capi, the application that we are seeing, is saying that Brentford has great fixtures. So what do you think about players from Brentford for this run-in? that's the question.
I think Brentford are fine for the next three game weeks. I think they play Sheffield United in game week 32 or 33. So I think you can hold a Tony, but I think the forward slot is actually getting very important going forward after a certain point, because people will want to have Darwin, people will want to have Solanke for the double, people will hold on to Haaland. So at some point you'll have to say goodbye to Tony, but it's not urgent. You don't need to do it immediately.
And you know what will be the thing that I, for example, brought him in game week 25 wildcard, and he's almost blank ever since. He scored two goals, but then we will all offload him, exactly like you said, and he will crush this this fixture run. He will crush
Definitely.
It. I'm sure of it.
That's FPL heritage, man.
No one will own him. Okay.
Yeah.
We have Elon planning to wildcard before 34. Some spicy differentials out of the template till then. Pras.
Liverpool picks are spicy differentials. So, you know, they've got basically the next two fixtures, Brighton at home and
Sheffield, right?
Sheffield United at home. These are the fixtures to pick. But the problem is you want a differential, which personally I'm not the favorite, a fan of differentials. People who get points are the players you want. So, you know, you could go for a Diaz if you're really looking for to be different. But again, to me, it's this being different for the sake of being different. So I would... Darwin would be the one. If you want to get to him, he would be the one.
Yeah, Watkins or Darwin would be a very popular move. I can definitely see it.
If they double in 34, yeah.
Yeah, people will have a tough time selling Watkins, but I think that's the play.
Okay.
They can double. Villa can double, right?
No.
If I'm getting it right.
Everyone who played in game week 29, except Spurs, cannot double.
True.
Yeah.
And Spurs is because of the
past one.
Yeah. The League Cup
the
final.
The one against
Carabao
Chelsea.
Cup final.
Yeah.
Yeah, against
exactly.
Chelsea.
Okay. We had a lot of questions on Twitter, but guys, unfortunately, we had such a great conversation with Pras, so it's now very late. We're going to skip it. We're going to answer it ourselves in the Twitter. Pras, I really want to thank you for coming here. People don't understand.
Pleasure.
You are such a figure. We approach you. You immediately accepted. It's such an honor for us. And for me, it was also a great pleasure to be talking to you and hearing your perspective firsthand. Guys, you also want to say something?
Yeah, it's been really amazing, Pras, and thanks so much for joining. And you're acting like it's so casual that you accepted this invitation, but it's really we don't take it for granted at all. And it's been a great conversation, and thanks so much for joining. By the way, guys, if you don't know, Pras is a part of the best FPL pod, the FPL Wire with Zoffer and Late Riser. You can find him there, and he also, I think, features regularly on the official FPL show. Anything else
and
I missed?
FPL Pras. Podcast and Deadline Dilemmas with the Flappy.
Deadline Jet. Dilemmas, right. Yeah.
Pras, one
so
question
go
from me. How do you manage to do so much podcast? I'm also working, I have kids and everything. And how do you manage to do so much podcast? I have to know this.
Look, I think the Thursday night one, the Scout one, is just a 30-minute, 40-minute. I just talk about my team, right? So that requires no preparation. The Wired one, I don't join every time. So if there's a work commitment or something, I don't join. But when I join... Again, with those guys, no preparation is needed. You just, you know, it's a bit like this, right? A few friends are just talking about their team and what are the big issues. And we actually don't do, like when I was doing Burnley questions before at Scout, I used to do a lot more. I used to have notes and tables. And so I think you spend, get more efficient with your time. And I think with the FPL pods, it's 8 a.m. on a work day. You just do it and you go to work. So you can manage it. I think I just love it so much. I love talking
fun.
About FPL. So yeah exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say too, thank you so much for being here. And when we started doing FPL content, I think we couldn't have dreamed about having you with us. That would be like the happiest day of our lives. I mean, of our virtual life. And that's been really amazing having you here. Thank you so much for doing that. Hope to see you soon again. maybe next time in Hebrew.
I'll brush up on my Hebrew, but look, guys, thank you so much. You guys have been very kind with your praise, and I really appreciate it. And look, I've always tried to interact and talk to everybody, because I'm just, you know, like anyone here, I'm just an FPL player who's trying to do well in FPL, and just, you know, a geek who's trying to do better and make good decisions. So it's been lovely talking to you guys, and you know, you guys are all doing great, have fantastic histories, and I wish you all the best with the podcast. Everyone who's listening to you, it's a pleasure being on.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You so
and
much.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. It's been an amazing pod for us, and good night.
Bye bye,
good night.
Season.